Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, all this month, the resource available for those who support the ministry prayerfully and financially is Andrew Walker's book, God and the Transgender Debate. This book is a very interesting read. It also is replete with fantastic illustrations. One illustration that Walker provides in the book is that of a viral video. It's a video that shows a young Caucasian man in his 30s interviewing college students at American University. So, in doing that, he first asked the students how they feel if he asserted that he is a she. And then he asked, how would you feel if I, as a Caucasian, asserted that I'm Chinese, or that I'm 7, or that I'm 6'5", when he was very clearly short in stature? Well, remarkably, all those assertions were met with precious little resistance. If a Caucasian says that he is a Chinese person, if a 30-year-old says he's 7, if a short person says he's tall, well, so be it. Moreover, if a man says that he's a woman, no problem. But in reality, as Walker points out, there is a problem. Imagine telling someone with anorexia that their perception of being fat is correct simply because that's their personal perception of reality. Imagine telling someone who feels worthless that they ought to act on those feelings. Is that kind? Or is that cruel? Now imagine telling someone who feels he is a woman, even though he quite obviously is a male, that his feelings trump his biology, that he is in fact transgender, when in truth, we all well know that decoupling biological sex from gender identity always leads to tragic consequences. Again, the book, replete with great illustrations, answers to questions, a very interesting read, but necessary in our culture, because the very bedrock of civilization is now being attacked. It's being, quite frankly, demolished. The book available for your support, check it out on the web at equip.org. I'm also doing a little series on Mormonism. The reason I'm doing that is because Mormonism is back in the news as a result of Mitt Romney, who, after charging that President Trump had engaged in the most destructive attack on the oath of office in our Constitution as I can possibly imagine, began talking about his Mormonism in various ways. He's talking about his faith. He's using a chorus from the Mormon litany, all as a basis of legitimizing not only the decision he makes, but also the faith that he is engaged in. Now, it's interesting to recognize that there's a genesis to the organization of Mormonism, and it's quite new. It's a 19th century phenomenon. So yesterday I mentioned that Moroni was very, very significant in Mormon folklore. In fact, if you look at the temples, you'll always see, not a cross, but you'll see Moroni on the spear of the church. He was the last military commander of the apocryphal Nephite nation. He was resurrected, as I said yesterday, as an angel who in 1823 told Joseph Smith where he could find golden plates that ultimately would develop into the Book of Mormon. Well, the Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, in which Mitt, of course, has served as a bishop and a stake president, officially took organizational form back in May 15 of 1829. And it took form when John the Baptist appeared to Joseph Smith, and then he ordained him to the Aaronic priesthood. And not long thereafter, the apostles Peter, James, and John appeared, and they allegedly conferred the Melchizedek priesthood on Joseph Smith so that he would have authority to act on behalf of Jesus Christ himself. However, as with the story of Smith's encounter with the angel Moroni, the organizational structure of the Mormon priesthood that Mitt Romney professes is built, it's built on a house of cards. Why do I say that? I say that because there is no biblical evidence that John the Baptist ever held the Aaronic or the Levitical priesthood. Nor would Smith have even been a candidate in that he wasn't descended from the tribe of Levi. As far as the Melchizedek priesthood is concerned, it is uniquely held by none other than Jesus Christ. And according to Hebrews chapter 7, it's a permanent priesthood. It's a priesthood that has no successor. And therefore, no Mormon male could possibly hold that priesthood, the priesthood of Melchizedek. The priesthood of Aaron has been set aside by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All the types and shadows have been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And therefore, when the substance has come, it is a great indignity to go back to types and shadows. Mitt Romney's protestations to the contrary, the organizational structure of Mormonism is quite clearly built on a flawed narrative. No matter how many times it's forwarded, it's still flawed. It's flawed not because I say it is. It's flawed because the facts say otherwise. Now, there's so much more that I want to communicate about Mormonism, and when we come back from the break today, in a couple of minutes, I'm going to talk about the Mormon Quad. Because in Mormonism, the Bible is not the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. Instead, they have a quad. They have the King James Version of the Bible. They have the Book of Mormon. And they have Doctrine and Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price. In fact, as I'll explain shortly, in Mormonism, the Bible takes a back seat to the Book of Mormon. So the question that everyone has to ask themselves, particularly if you're involved in Mormonism, is the Book of Mormon really a reliable revelation, or is it a hopelessly flawed book full of factual errors, full of mythological people, places, and particulars? Ultimately, that's the question on which everything hinges, because the Mormons have attacked Christianity. They've attacked the revelation of Christianity. They have said overtly that the Book of Mormon is the most complete, the most perfect of all revelations, that the Book of Mormon is far more significant, far more correct than the Bible. We'll talk about all of that and more when we come back from the break. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Won't get to calls today. We'll get your calls on Monday next week. And do remember the resources that I talk about on the broadcast, including my flip chart, which is a memorable key to the Mormon Mirage. You can find on the web at equip.org or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be right back.
Many Christians don't know how to respond to the issue of transgenderism. Unfortunately, ignorance is not an option. The Bible is clear on issues of sexuality and gender, making fidelity to the foundations of our faith essential. Andrew T. Walker wrote the book, God and the Transgender Debate, to serve as a resource to equip Christians to understand gender identity from a biblical perspective. To receive a copy of God and the Transgender Debate, What Does the Bible Actually Say About Gender Identity?, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. We'll return with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Throughout history, gender was understood as binary, male or female. Today, Facebook offers over 50 gender options for its members. If you're feeling confused, you're not alone. What is transgenderism and gender fluidity? In a culture ready to label anyone who questions the transgender agenda as hateful and bigoted, how should Christians respond? Christians need to understand and provide a biblical response to the transgender agenda, which is why the book, God and the Transgender Debate, by Andrew T. Walker, is a resource every Christian must read to understand the issue of transgenderism and what the Bible actually says about gender identity. To receive your copy of God and the Transgender Debate, What Does the Bible Actually Say About Gender Identity?, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Because questions remain about the earliest moments of the universe, scientists offer speculative alternatives to our universe having an actual beginning. Nevertheless, the science that is known to be true provides abundant evidence that the universe came into being a finite time ago, just as the Bible teaches. Other topics include how Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers, Christian apologetics in a nutshell, John Chrysostom, the Golden Mouth Preacher, Christian imagination and the problem of horrendous evil, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. When Mitt Romney is in the news, Mormonism, of course, is vicariously in the news as well. Andy Reid, who is the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, also a Mormon, and that got a little attention. But it all spurred me to think, you know what? A lot of people today simply do not understand what Mormonism represents. They have a number of revelations. I alluded to this before we went to break. Those revelations are codified by what's called a quad, meaning four books. The King James Version of the Bible, the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. Not only that, any revelation from the living Mormon president and prophet is binding on the church, and that's a fact that the church has exploited to alter the doctrines derived from the quad. In other words, they have frequently altered their expositions of the quad under political pressure from the United States government, something that, of course, Mitt Romney knows a lot about. So let me say just a few things about the Book of Mormon. This is the very book that Joseph Smith referred to as the most correct of any book on earth, the most correct, and the keystone to the Mormon religion. It's more correct than even their own version of the King James Version. In fact, the sixth president of Mormonism went so far as to say that the words of the Book of Mormon were not only correct, but that every single letter was given to Joseph Smith by the gift and by the power of God. One wonders how that could possibly be true when the Book of Mormon has been altered, I think, somewhere around 4,000 times. And that to compensate for poor grammar and poor spelling. And that's not all. There are very serious factual errors as well. Let me give you some examples. There is no archaeological support for lands such as the land of Moron, which is depicted in Ether chapter 7. And nor is there any archaeological evidence to buttress the notion that the Jaredites, the Nephites, the Lamanites, that they all migrated from Israel to the Americas. In fact, on the contrary, both archaeology and anthropology demonstrate beyond the peradventure of a doubt that the people, the places, the particulars that are depicted in the Book of Mormon are little more than the products of Joseph Smith's fertile and enterprising imagination. Perhaps the greatest crack in the credibility of the Book of Mormon is that whole sections were lifted from the KJV version of the Bible. And that despite the fact that, according to Mormon chronology, the Book of Mormon predates the King James Version by more than 1,000 years. Little wonder, then, that Mitt Romney and the Mormons accept the Book of Mormon based on a feeling rather than based on history and evidence. Let me say something about Doctrine and Covenants as well. Because like the Book of Mormon, this is a highly problematic document. And I'll provide at least one example. The example comes to mind of Doctrine and Covenants 131, which emphatically teaches that apart from plural marriage, no one can enter the highest level of heaven. No one can enter the celestial heaven. And the celestial heaven, of course, in Mormon lore, is distinct from two other heavens, the celestial and the terrestrial heavens. And even though this is divine Mormon law, the actual practice of polygamy had to be repealed. Why is that? Because of the pressure, once again, from the United States government. So 50 years after Joseph Smith's divine revelation of 1843, President and Prophet Wilford Woodruff issued a contrary revelation relegating polygamy to the afterlife. Now, Mitt is crystal clear in his allegiance to Mormon doctrine. So what I'm talking about here is not foreign to him, something he knows about, and he says that nonetheless, I believe in my Mormon faith, and I will not disavow one or another of its precepts. I think I got time to talk about one other book, and that is The Pearl of Great Price. So you have the King James Version, you have the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, and then you have The Pearl of Great Price. And I think this is worth some commentary because together with racially charged language in the Book of Mormon itself, The Pearl of Great Price was used for many, many years to prevent men of African descent from entering into the priesthood. And there's a quote that is emblazoned on the minds of most people that are familiar with this subject, which says, "Behold, the Lord shall curse the land with much heat, and the barrenness thereof shall go forth, and then there was a blackness that came upon all the children of Canaan, that they were despised among all the people." And it was not until 1978 that the Mormon Church, again, in a contrary revelation, a revelation spurred on by political pressure, ceased to use these kinds of writings to exclude males of African descent from their priesthood. A false priesthood, by the way, as I mentioned earlier. And equally devastating, when you're thinking about credibility and the Pearl of Great Price, is the fact that professional Egyptologists identify the original manuscripts that Smith translated as the Book of Abraham as being merely pagan funerary documents, documents that convey nothing whatsoever related to what Smith depicts in the Book of Abraham. Now, all of that has come out, all of that is popular knowledge, and yet people persist in a faith that has been utterly demonstrated, not only to be a late 19th century innovation, but a faith that has had to undergo significant changes because polytheism, because of its persecution of blacks, and many other very significant problems. Now, unlike these Mormon scriptures, unlike what I've just depicted, the Bible clearly demonstrates that it is divine in origin. So the Book of Mormon has to be contrasted with the correctness of the Bible. Contrast is always the conduit to clarity. The Bible has been transmitted virtually unchanged for millennia, no 4,000 changes. The Word of God is supported by archaeological evidence. It's accurate in its prophetic predictions. It's sublime in its language. It's internally consistent. It's filled with wisdom far beyond man's ability. And most of all, it's transformative for all who follow its beautiful precepts. That's why I've often said, like a rock of Gibraltar, that is embedded in a sea of manuscript copies. The Bible is yet, the Bible will forever be an immovable bulwark, a bulwark that fuels our faith and shatters the waves of skepticism and doubt. I've written about this in a number of different places. One of those places is the memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage flip chart. You can find that on the web at equip.org. I've also written a little booklet called The Mormon Mirage, Seeing Through the Illusion of Mainstream Mormonism. And then in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, you can find a number of entries on Mormonism. You can check all that out on the web at equip.org, and they are available for those who support the ministry. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to being right back here next week with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Throughout history, gender was understood as binary, male or female. Today, Facebook offers over 50 gender options for its members. If you're feeling confused, you're not alone. What is transgenderism and gender fluidity? In a culture ready to label anyone who questions the transgender agenda as hateful and bigoted, how should Christians respond? Christians need to understand and provide a biblical response to the transgender agenda, which is why the book God and the Transgender Debate by Andrew T. Walker is a resource every Christian must read to understand the issue of transgenderism and what the Bible actually says about gender identity. To receive your copy of God and the Transgender Debate, What Does the Bible Actually Say About Gender Identity? Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.